Jesus, when we had Jack and Joanne here this summer, we had a meeting on Saturday, and I remember it because I love the spontaneity, because Brad was here getting text messages, and she just stopped to pray for him in the middle of the sermon, and she made a comment, and it's true, and I never grasped it before. She said most of Jesus' ministry was based on interruptions, people coming up and interrupting. And sometimes I don't like interruptions. I don't like when the Holy Spirit redirects, because I like things. I do well, I'm task oriented, and when the Holy Spirit redirects me, it causes me problems sometimes internally. And the Lord can sometimes interrupt. I'm going to share some about that. I'm not going to be long. I'm not going to keep you long. But turn with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 10. I don't know how much of this I'm going to share. Acts chapter 16. And if you remember last week, just as a recap, Paul had Timothy circumcised right after he told him, you don't have to be circumcised. And we talk about being all things to all men, that I might save some. And so this week, they're getting ready to go on their missions trip. There's one more thing I'm going to talk about, too. I think it's imperative to share. And then I'm going to talk about interruptions. But they're getting ready to go on their missions trip. They're on their second missions trip. Instead of Barnabas this time, you remember, he's with Silas. And they're getting ready to rock and roll and share the gospel. In verse 6, it says, now when they'd gone through whatever that name is of that place, I can't pronounce, and the reason, I don't want to embarrass myself by trying, in the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, and a man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over here to Macedonia to help us. Now, after they'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Let me just stop right there. In verse 10, it goes from they to we, because Luke was with them. Okay, I'm going to say something about that in a minute. Now, after they'd seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Just briefly, they were getting ready to do the will of God, to go into all the earth, preach the gospel, and the Holy Spirit stopped them from going, right? So go preach the gospel, and they were getting ready to go, and the Holy Spirit said, he forbade them. I might share something about that too. And the Holy Spirit put a stop up on them. Let me say this. There's a verse in Exodus. Moses, he says, show me now thy way that I might know thee. King James. Show me now your way that I might know you. And sometimes, as we go through life, it's important that we understand the ways of God. Okay, so life is more than just I've got my ticket to heaven. But the more as I go through life, and valleys and hills and everything, I'm constantly learning the ways of the Lord. How he works, how he moves, what he does. And that's important so we can understand him when we understand his ways. But this is, I think, what Paul and Silas were doing. And they were going through and they were getting ready to go. They were in Asia. They wanted to go to more into Asia. And the Holy Spirit stopped them and they ended up going into the Europe region. Let me say this. It says, the steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step that he takes. Right? The steps of a good man are directed by the Lord. He delights in each step that he takes. So the Lord sees my steps. He marks me out. Let me say this. I'm just get to the punch. I've got 2 points. One of the things that, if you've been in the church for any length of time at all, someone will come and ask you, what's the will of God for me? And most of the time we think of these big, elaborate things, but sometimes they can be really small things as well. And I've shared some of this before. But there's it's a principle. I think it's in the Scriptures. I think it's right here in the Scriptures. But I think the will of God sometimes, let me read this. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There's some other passages as well. I believe the will of God, it is. So for right now, for me, the will of God for me is to be in Pawcatuck, Connecticut. Okay, and there's a geographical sense and a timing sense. But the will of God is also a state of being. Amen. And so sometimes it's not so much getting to a certain place or something. The Lord, I'm in a certain place. So I can say I want the will of God, but if I'm not rejoicing always, if I'm not praying continuously, if I'm not giving thanks in all circumstances, am I really in the will of God? And there's a principle I just want to encourage you. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I think it's utilized here. It's the principle of the green light. And it says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. The will of God is I'm led by the Spirit. I'm in touch with Him. I'm praying. I'm joyful. I'm thankful. And what it means is basically this. Have you ever tried to do something and the Holy Spirit stopped you? Or He's closed your doors? Or He's put restraints on you? And something I just want to encourage you, and the will of God is not something to agonize over. Sometimes it's the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So if I have a lamp, I can just see a little bit ahead of me. If I got a light, I can see a little further. I always give the analogy of the GPS. I've shared it here multiple times. If I've got a GPS and I drive to our house from here, and I know how to get to my house from my church, but if I take a wrong turn, the GPS is going to say, "No, you idiot! What are you doing? Why? Who gave you a car? Go back!" No, the GPS says recalculate. And that's what the Lord will do to us. Sometimes if I have the principle and I say, you know what? I'm going to go down to Ephesus, which they went to later. I'll share that. I'm going to go down to Ephesus right now. I'm going to just, the Holy Spirit's called me to preach. I'm going to go do it and do it. And I walk with the Spirit of God. He can stop. He can put barriers. He can change my route. Can He not? Amen. I can be walking with the Lord. As long as I'm walking with Him, I can do it. And I don't have to stress. If I do take a step in the wrong direction, the whole kingdom's not going to go to pot because of it. The Lord can recalculate you. He does it to me all the time. My wife's in here, so I'll share. I remember when she was going to leave the Bible school and had a going away party for her. She'd planned to leave.
All my furniture was moved.
All her furniture was moved, and the Lord kept her in the school. And she grew a lot. And sometimes there's timings. And so there's a, if I'm really... I guess my point is this. The Holy Spirit was directing their missions journeys. And sometimes, this is for me, I want to break this down. This isn't just on a missions trip somewhere. This is everything in life. And sometimes for me, the way I'm wired, I can see ahead, and I say, I'm not there yet. I believe they saw, I think Paul did some of his greatest work in Ephesus. Yet when they were right here, the Holy Spirit stopped him from going to Ephesus. It's a timing issue. And sometimes the Holy Spirit can say, you know what, that might be where you're called to go, but right now I'm going to forbid you to go. And it's okay to say, well, Lord, why? But I have to trust the steps of a good man in order of the Lord. And if he delights in each step that he takes. It also says that if he falls, the Lord's able to hold him back up, right? It means I can make mistakes. I can live in a way with God where I'm not going to agonize over every step that I take because the Holy Spirit's directing me. And if I've gone off path, He'll bring me back. If I'm in tune with Him, now I can say, Lord, You're calling me here, but forget You. I'm not going to do this. That's a choice I make. But if my heart is poised towards Him, I'm going to go, right? I'm going to go. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Just for a job, I may have shared this before here, but when I was getting ready to take the job I have now, because this works in all aspects of life, again, not just missions trips or whatever. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. And there was a job, I was frustrated where I was, I needed to get out, and I told this other company I'm going to take this job, and because I didn't know. Know what the mind of God was on it. I was kind of in that place. And something that I did, and something I would, just a recommendation, you can do it. I had signed the contract to leave and go to this other company. And I said, Lord, I just don't know what to do. And I actually got the contract. I printed it off before I faxed it. I was at my job. And I said, Lord, I give this to You. And as soon as I did that, the peace of God, such a presence of God just filled me. I had to... It's okay. I can do it. Something that works for me. I signed contract before I sent it. Sometimes if I get that restlessness or the Spirit of God isn't here, it's a check. don't take that job? Should I go confront this family member over this issue? Sometimes even like in you could be in a church service and it's an issue of praying for someone. Or just because God tells you something doesn't mean you have to necessarily say it sometimes. Amen. Sometimes He just wants to share something with you. And sometimes if it's, Lord, you share this, do you want me to say it? And I go, oh, I feel restrained. I don't do it. Sometimes it's a timing issue. Maybe that person's not quite ready for it yet. Maybe it's something in it's a family issue and that person needs to hear something and you know they need to hear it and I can see it. They need to hear it. And I go up there to them. And there's a restraint. I have to be alert to the Spirit of God within me. Forbid me. I can disregard that and go and you're going to have trouble. I can say, okay, I'm going to stop right now or I'm going to be free to go. Amen?
Amen.
It's a principle of the green light. I'm not agonizing over it. I'm being led by the Spirit. Lord, you've given me for this person. If it's not for here, then it's not for now. It's timing. Sometimes there's timing issues with the Lord. Amen. I felt such a call to New England, such a call to come up here. I don't know why, but I did. And I could. It was like the Ephesus thing. I was called, and I knew I was supposed to go. You know, there's a principle, seed time and harvest, right? There's a time to plant my seeds. There's a time for harvest. But sometimes there's a time of waiting in the middle. And sometimes if I go plant certain seeds right now, I'm going to be up the creek without a paddle and a hole in the boat. And there's a waiting period for that. And so sometimes, for example, for me up here, I won't get into all the story, there's a connection I have to make in another place. And at times, stuff God had to do in me, stuff God had to do in this person, that person. I don't always know the full scope. I can have something in my heart. I can make good steps to get to it and trust that the Lord will stop me. And if He stops me, it may not be that God's just said, no, you're not doing that. It may just be that there's a timing issue. One of the worst things in the world is premature promotion, or when I'm in a place prematurely. I can be late to the meeting, or I can be way too early to the meeting. Look at Saul and David, right? Saul, King Saul, we're going out. You're the king. He didn't make it very well. He ended his career consulting with a witch doctor. He didn't do very well. David, you're king. Now go back and wash those sheep, suffer it out, you know? There's a time of preparation, sometimes between seed, and I can sow seed, and before I see the harvest, there's a time of preparation. Look at, if you're in a waiting season in your life, I feel like this might be for someone, and you see that there's an Ephesus, God, you've called me here, I'm supposed to go here, and I take a step out to go, and I have some forbidding, I have some restraining. The Holy Spirit's great at closing doors, too. I pray all the time. Lord, if I'm going to do this, what I think you said to do, if you don't want to do it, close the door. And He closes the door. But every time if He doesn't want me to go through it, take this job, do this. Lord, if you don't want that to happen, close the door. And I don't have to live in agony and stress. Should I press it? No, God can close the door. Amen. The Holy Spirit does it. He's done it to me. And then when He opens doors, they're great. And I know it's the Lord. Just walk through it. And if He closes it, He closes it. Amen. Just a good principle of walking with the Lord and being in that place and letting the peace of God govern in your heart. Say this, then I'm going to move on. Well, no, let me just go back to this. In Acts chapter 16, and it says, and we, now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. Bible trivia quiz. Who wrote the book of Acts? Yeah, it was Luke. And so, if you read this, this is actually the point when Luke steps in. He says, we. He's along the path with them now. What happened if they'd gone ahead and they'd left Luke behind? We had the Acts. I don't know if he would have gotten all of that. He also wrote the Gospel of Luke. Luke was also a physician. And Paul was known to have physical ailments. He writes about that in Galatians. What happens if they'd gone prematurely ahead and they'd never met Luke? And Luke was supposed to be with them. Sometimes it's true. His thoughts and his ways are higher than mine. And sometimes I have to trust in the Lord and lean not on my understanding and recognize it's okay to be visionary. It's okay to see this. It's okay for God to put this and call me here and call me there and do this. But maybe there's a Luke in your life in some capacity that he has to, maybe it's a timing issue, maybe it's a person issue. So maybe there's something God's called you to and it's not the right time for whatever reason, because it's going to be premature and you get there, it's going to be to the detriment of you, like King Saul. Sometimes it might be that I get there, but there's this Luke that's supposed to be there with me. That's a key part of my destiny, because I'm not called alone, right? And so maybe I have a Luke in my life, and I just, Luke hasn't come yet. And the Holy Spirit knows that. God Almighty knows that. And He's putting restraints on me in this area until I can get to that place. And hey, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
The Lord's sovereign, right? And He gives us free will, and there's always that contingency and thing. But if I'm walking, He works with us and He partners with us, but if I'm walking with Him in the Spirit, and I'm aware of Him, I can be led by the Spirit, and I can be free to step out and move. I can be free to step out and go and do things and have the confidence and the faith in Almighty God that He's so interested in my life, He knows the hairs on my head, that He can stop me or move me forward as He wishes.
Amen.
Amen. It's just a good principle to have. There's just a cool little story I do want to share. And sometimes it's good to know when I'm stepping in the will of God. There's this a Walter Buechler story. And he was writing, he traveled the world teaching, and he was going down to Argentina or speaking, it was a sermon. And he said, I went to New York to the airport. He said, before I got on the airplane, he said, I stepped and there's just this unbelievable presence and sense of God. I just felt Him so strongly. And he said, I said to myself, if there's any point in my time in my life I've been in the will of God, it's right now. And he went on that airplane, and this was, they had to refuel in Cuba, in Havana, and this was when the revolution with Castro was hot and heavy down there. So guess what happens when they got to Cuba? They arrested the plane, or they captured the plane. They went on the plane, and he said, we had to all leave, and he said Castro had his men out there with the guns and doing like this, and he said that was the day when they were arresting Americans. But he said, because I've been in that place before where I went, and I knew I was in the will of God, I said to myself, Father, even if they put me in jail, I have peace because I'm in Your will. Amen. See how important it is to be aware of the Lord at all times. So if I go into a situation, and there's another story Chris Valentin was sharing, and he said, I was in the car driving with my wife and my kids, and he said, all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me, do not fear, for I am with you. And he said, I had the strongest peace in my life. What happened? They had a guy end up, right after that, chase them, try to get in their car. He tells the story much better than I am. Basically, he was hunting them down, trying to get in the vehicle to kill them for whatever reason. And they had to get the police, actually. They had to go in the middle of the lane, and it was a crazy situation. The police had to arrest the guy. He said, I was in my car, my wife and kids were freaking out, and I was like laughing, having a good time. And he said, the reason I was is because I was so aware that the Lord, the Holy Spirit was with me. And I was going, and I was free. There's a freedom that the Lord gives us when I'm with Him, right? Even if I'm in a bad situation, I'll never leave nor forsake. Now, before you do something and you have this thing in you, then you step out, you know, maybe you've stepped out of a situation and you need to reroute yourself back. It's important to be aware of the Lord in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let me get into this, and then I'm going to be done, because this is kind of what I want to share. In verse 11, it says this. It says, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace. And the next day we came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out to the city by the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. So they end up going down to the Europe region, and there's a church led by Lydia. And if you remember, if you read the book of Philippians, they met there at the river. They didn't have a church persecution, those things. So they met by the river each Sabbath to pray there. And it says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, and she worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, and when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. Two quick points. One, this kills two sacred cows. She was a woman who was in leadership. church. Amen? Okay. She was. And she was a woman of wealth. She had a home big enough. She was a seller of purple. She had a home big enough to have a church service in. Amen? I said it last week just to remind you. I might speak on this next week. I don't know. As people of God, we're called to be, what was that? Healthy, wealthy, and wise, right? Amen. We're called to be the most prosperous, joyful people on the world. Amen. Amen. And let me say this real quick about prosperity. I've heard it said this way before. I believe it's true. If what God calls me to do requires $10 million and I have $9 million, I'm not being successful and prosperous. Amen. If what God calls me to do requires $60,000 and I have $70,000, I'm prosperous and successful. Amen. Has not necessarily anything to do with my bank account, but do I have enough to do what the Lord's called me to do? And I just, that's not my point, but if you read on in Philippi, it was and let me say this for the women, since it's women. The most spiritual church that Paul wrote to, if you read his epistles, was Philippians. It's a church made up of women. Amen?
Amen.
Women can, amen. Sometimes women, well, can be more spiritual than men sometimes. Not always. I'll claim that for men. But it was this church made up of women, and he met her there. Let me say this. I believe the Holy Spirit... I need to get off of that. I see myself digging a deeper hole. It's a good subject, though. It is. It is. The Holy Spirit, one of the reasons I believe they directed them and they interrupted their plans was for Lydia and that church that she had there in Philippi. I believe that. Sometimes the Lord will interrupt us maybe for just one person. And I read a quote by it's Henry Nouwen. He says, "My whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." Wow. Read that again. He said, "My whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." Yeah. And I was thinking, Andrew mentioned it to me, just to have a Christmas theme. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph, how their life was interrupted? Mm-hmm. Their reputation, their plans for the future, everything was interrupted for Jesus. I mentioned it before about Jesus' ministry. Preaching the kingdom, preaching the gospel. I need you to heal my son. Come over here. Remember blind Bartimaeus walking down the road. Son of David, have mercy on me. Stops. I always marvel at the woman with the issue of blood is on the way to heal, to raise this kid from the dead, and she stops him. And he's not saying, "Lady, get away from me. I have a kid who just died. I got to raise him." He says, "No, I'm going to stop and go." And the Lord has been dealing with me because, like I said, I'm a task-oriented person. And he did it this morning, actually. And I got up and I like my prayer time in the morning, and my wife almost threw her back out, and I had to cut that short. It's like, and I come up here, I have my routine I do up here, and then Owen's ears in pain, we have to do this. I stop, and then I get to Rite Aid, and the guy's taking forever, and I'm sitting there, and the Lord's teaching me. Sometimes I can learn to function in interruptions. Let me read Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote, "Interruption is God's enhancement of our craft and our work, and His tender way of encouraging His creatures to be part of the kingdom come. We must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will be constantly crossing our paths and canceling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. We may pass them by, preoccupied with our more important task. It is a strange fact that Christians and even ministers frequently consider their work so important and urgent that they will allow nothing to disturb them. They think they're doing God a service in this, but actually, they are disdaining God's crooked yet straight path." That just speaks to me. And if it's true that all of us are ministers, and what I'm doing right now is just a function of one aspect of ministry, and I realize that when I go to Rite Aid, and I've got the guy, or Walgreens, I guess they are now, and I've got the guy right here, and I'm looking at my clock. I gotta go. And I start to pay attention to him, and he's really struggling because his doctor is calling the order and he's not doing well. Maybe that's an invitation for me to minister to him rather than complain about how I was interrupted in my schedule. Yeah. Like, that's a revelation for me.
Amen.
It really is, because sometimes I can put my head down and I can go. Deaths can enter. My situation with my uncle, just one day he's here and the next moment he's gone. He was supposed to be in North Carolina this week, like I said, to do some family's business with my mom that she needed him for, you know. I look at it this way. I can look at interruptions as disruption to me, or I can see Jesus. Love is patient. Love is kind. I think that also means love can be interrupted. Okay, it's an aspect where I can be interrupted in my life. And if I really am seeing things from the heavens and from His perspective, I should always view interruptions as opportunities. You know, instead of an interruption, it's an opportunity to minister in any capacity in my life. So sudden death in your family, you know, there's a situation there I could elaborate on. I won't do it. It's none of my business to do it. But His thoughts are higher. His ways are higher than ours sometimes. And if I get up in the Spirit with Him and I see, you know, I'm in the grocery store. It drives me up the wall in the grocery store when they're slow. Absolutely drives just this thing. It drives me crazy. Just scan it and leave. Maybe I need to start saying, maybe there's someone in front of me or behind me that I can chew the fat with for a little bit and get to know them. Like, I don't know. Like, engage with somebody. Instead of being so focused on where I am, that's something, it'll probably come out of me better later. It's just something the Lord's been dealing with me everywhere I go, at work. Maybe it's a situation where I see it as an interruption, but maybe it's God's invitation into this person's life in an area I wouldn't have had before. It says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Proverbs 19:21. And it also says this, the preparations of heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Ministry, I've said it before, it's anything, Tony Miller says it this way, anything I can do to improve someone's life, whether it's giving them a prophetic word or cooking them dinner one night, whether it's praying for James and Anna now or cooking her something after she goes, that's just as much ministry as just praying. It honestly really is. But I have to allow myself to be interrupted. I have to allow, because maybe there's a Lydia behind me in the grocery store line when I'm pulling my hair out because they're taking forever. Maybe there's a man or woman of God with a destiny on their life that just needs something from me. Like, what if I thought that way? Well, I was going to go down here, and I've said it before. If you read it on Acts 18, three major churches Paul had, Jerusalem, or three major churches in Acts, Jerusalem, Antioch, and Ephesus. Ephesus was a city transformational church. God had called them there, yet not yet. 16. He said, I see that. I'm going to take you. I'm going to derail your plans briefly and temporarily. And instead of me bellyaching to the Lord about that, I see that. Lord, you've redirected me. It's a good thing. I don't understand it because I see what you're doing in Ephesus. Maybe that's 2 years away, but I see it in Ephesus. Maybe you redirected me because I need Luke on my journey. And maybe you're redirecting me here because there's a Lydia and there's a church there in Philippi that you want to establish and raise up that needs my ministry. Amen?
Amen.
It's just a thought. Lord, it's dealing with me in that area. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for the people here.